Data, it's become the lifeblood of decision-making at many federal agencies. Greg Gottbout is one of the leaders in federal data adoption. Now the chief data officer at the EPA, he's helping decision-making at both the federal and state levels. I interviewed Gottbout and the agency's chief data scientist, Robin Tottengall, for an update on data initiatives. Gottbout explains how data innovation can keep federal executives from making bad decisions on what they don't really know.
I think data innovation, from my perspective, is sort of the use of data in the decisions you make and how you manage and how you operate. So very frequently I'll refer to, in the federal government, we sort of exist in sort of hunch-based leadership. People will actually go off of hunches or theories, and stakeholders will often run with systems without checking them, checking against the real data to say, is it performing in the way you expected? So I'm a big fan of user-centered design. I believe user-centered design is really nothing more than using fact-based research to determine whether you're achieving the goals you thought.
Okay, before we get too deep into that, I wanted to ask Robin, you have the title of chief data scientist, and I've asked others this question, and people want to know, so I'll ask you also, what does a chief data scientist do?
From my perspective, Tom, when you think of being a chief data scientist for an agency, what we are trying to do is a couple of things. One is trying to understand what kind of data the organization currently have, and at the same time, look at how we can take that data to create information, right? For example, in one case, what we can talk about is, I can go in detail on one of the EPA scenarios. We have a program called TRI, Toxic Release Inventory Program, right? Where we can collect information about the different pollutants released by facilities across the United States. Now, the question is, what can we do with that data to make more decisions? And there are scenarios where we were able to look at the data with census data and try to find out, okay, what are the population or subpopulation that might be at risk because of a specific type of pollutant. So that is one of the use cases where the agency is effectively using my office to look at how we can effectively use the data collected to make information out of it.
So I imagine one of the tasks, though, then, is making data from disparate systems, like census is over here, EPA is over here, make that data so that it can work together in a given question or a given system where people might seek answers to questions.
Yes. I mean, so the classic challenge is, and you know, that is where I think in EPA, one of the nice things I like about the organization at this point is we have CIO Ann Duncan, then we have the CTO Greg, and myself, we form this triangular team which can look at this problem from a bigger perspective, right? As a chief data scientist, I will come in and say that, you know, this is what I want to think about doing with the data. Then I will go to Greg and say, Greg, look, you know, this is an idea. Then Greg will come back to me and say that, okay, as a technology officer or CTO of the organization, he will say, okay, this is the way in which we can implement that technology, or this is a roadmap. Because of this triangular leadership, we can make more effective decisions and think of that platforms. To some extent, you know, the word I like to use is Google-like or Facebook-like technology bringing into EPA. That is, to some extent, the mission or the vision that I have. And Greg, you know, go ahead.
Yeah, Greg, I wanted to ask you, what are agencies doing differently now to get to that decision that are driven by data or based on data? So what's different now to get to data-informed decision-making?
Well, I think the sheer volume of data, and also combining it with other external pieces of data to make it make more sense, right? So you start to get to really complex mashups, if you will, of data sets. And it's why you need a data scientist like Robin to come in and say, hey, we need to sort of play around with these data sets and make sense of it and find correlations and things like that. And from my perspective, it's like, when we find those correlations, how's that going to change our behavior on delivery and what we execute and what we do? And then we implement that way.
We're speaking to Robin Tottengall. He's the chief data scientist, and Greg Gottbout, who's the chief technology officer at the EPA. And so that gets to the question, Greg, of, do people at EPA, the program people that are trying to get to decisions, do they know what it is they want to ask and what data they need to get to the questions they want to ask?
Yeah, I think at any given time, any of us can tell you what we want to ask and what we think we want to know. The reality is we have to collect everything, because when we turn the corner in the future, we realize there was a whole nother perspective that we missed. And boy, I hope we were collecting that data all along so we can look back and see if it has some correlation, right? So I think the key here is we have to assume we don't know what we don't know, and thus collect as much information as possible.
And so, Robin, do you go around to agencies looking at data that might impinge on the environment?
So the way we are trying to solve this problem is, if you look at EPA as an organization, we have different components, right? So to look at this from a simple standpoint, we are monitoring air, we are monitoring water, we are monitoring land from a simplistic perspective, right? So I work with these different offices to understand what are the regulatory components we have in these offices and what type of data are we collecting with respect to these air, water, and land. And what we are doing as an organization at this point is try to bring in data into a collective place and start looking at can we start integrating these data, right? And look at that, and then from that point, from a data science perspective, we can start creating this environment that program officers can come in and play with the data and try to find out, oh, I didn't know that I can use the data from air to look at the water quality. There could be diffusion components from air that is coming into water, right? So that opens up the program's ability to analyze the data from a bigger picture, because offices are to some extent siloed at this point where they use their own data. Now what we are doing is, because of this capability to bring the data together from multiple sources within the organization, they are opening up their analysis and ability to bring more value from the data that we are collecting.
Now, EPA has traditionally collected the data that is actually gathered by state, local, tribal entities, but it sounds like now you're also bringing in other data, such as from other federal agencies, or maybe even industrial data that would not normally be collected by EPA the way it was originally envisioned, you know, at some point after Earth Day.
Yeah, right. Like, I mean, I think the real future is, and this is not too far away. I mean, we're living it now, but you can imagine, for example, like in 3 years, the sheer volume of data will be, from the EPA's perspective, crowdsourced science. You know, sensors everywhere. How soon did people's Fitbit start collecting air quality, right? Like, you know, you literally will be living in a world with such instant and massive data that what we're really working on right now is the adaptability of the delivery mechanisms within EPA to even be able to respond to this and be able to collect all of this information.
So let's take this down to the practical day-to-day level. And you have to have systems, you have to have storage systems for this data, and then you have to have machines to analyze it. I mean, there's a lot of data center and infrastructure implication of what you're doing. Where is the money going to come from, and what kind of support do you have for building systems that can take data which might be free or cheap, but the systems to process them are not?
Well, I think, I can talk from the implementation standpoint. Data, there's going to be so much of it. You're right. It's like, you know, from an economic standpoint, it'll become cheap. But what is also cheap is storage space and hosting in the true cloud, right? So the real mechanism here to make this all possible is moving as fast as possible from our data center model to an actual true scalable and elastic cloud. And that helps both with processing power and making it cheaper to do the processing, but also massive storage and particularly open innovation and sharing of data. I mean, that's how your data, we're not going to be able to do closed innovation and actually understand all this data. We're going to have to open it up and see how other people use it and learn from it.
The Environmental Protection Agency has always been a data collection organization. Now it's finding new and innovative ways to bring more data into decision-making and how it goes about regulatory affairs. Greg Godbout is the EPA's chief data officer. Robin Tottengall is its chief data scientist. In part two of my interview, Tottengall starts by explaining how a common worry among decision makers was actually solved many years ago.
How do we differentiate cause effect and correlation, right? There is a whole class of causal inference algorithms that is created in the data science or 10 years ago statistical community that is used to identify if there is a correlation, or is that a merely a correlation, or is there a cause and effect. And one of the methods is called Rubin model. And the interesting part is the method was originally developed in 1938, even before the computers existed, right? So there are techniques that we can use to look at these problems. And, you know, that is, again, one of the reasons people like us becomes more valuable for the agency, right? A chief data scientist can go at the enterprise level and say, if this is the problem you are trying to solve, these are the methods you need to look at. So that is one of the benefits of having an office like Chief Data Scientist Office within EPA is going to help from a broader perspective. And I'm really looking forward to see the other agencies adopting these kind of mechanisms to make sure that the information or the decisions that we are making from data has a solid scientific foundation.
And the federal statistical community, there's a whole body of agencies that are called the federal statistical agencies. Is this kind of thinking what you guys talk about when you get together nowadays? I mean, how is that whole community changing as a result of the new data era we're in?
I think, you know, there's a number of communities that are all really very aligned. You could talk about digital services. You could talk about the data, the big data movements and things like that. The Internet of Things is upon us, right? So all of these devices, software, all these things, you can no longer separate them, right? And so what we talk about is not just the intricate nature of each specific function within that community, but more importantly, how we can all work together cross-functionally to deliver on a good result for the American people. I mean, that's really what it comes down to at the end of the day, is let's do our jobs better and more efficiently.
We're speaking to Robin Tottengall. He's the chief data scientist, and Greg Godbout, who's the chief technology officer at the EPA, which gets to the question you mentioned, and that is digital services, something each agency is supposed to have. But I imagine there's a lot of commonalities and I guess a body of practice that can be learned for delivering decision-making systems, regardless of what the particular mission of the agency is.
So one of the key differences that we see is the sheer volume of data that we are collecting nowadays, as opposed to the kind of data that we had 10 years ago or 15 years ago. And to accelerate this process, now we are going into a world of Internet of Things, environmental monitoring. So think of a scenario where we are going to deploy sensors across the United States that is going to collect environmental information for us. So that is going to be sheer tremendous volume of data that we have to handle, store, make sure its quality is right, and you have to think of techniques too, right? So this requires a different class of mentality when you look at the team. And Greg has more experience coming from 18F on how to create a team like that. But, you know, that's, we are to some extent trying to emulate an environment within EPA where we can have data scientists working with user experience experts, with UI designers to make sure that it's not only collecting the information properly and analyzing the information, also making sure that that can be assimilated by a common person, right? You know, there is no point in doing an advanced statistical technique if I cannot tell the story to a person on the street, right? So that's another dimension of this problem that we are looking at.
All right, so I'm a backward agency, let's imagine, and I know I should do this kind of thing. What are some best practices for getting up to speed in the new era of data, of statistical analysis, of algorithms, and of better decision making?
The first one I would say is it's very important that you don't spend so much time trying to predict the future, but actually spend time preparing to be proactive and adapt to the future. There's just no way to know all the unknowns, and so you have to be very adaptive. We need adaptive leadership, we need adaptive systems, we need this way that we can take in the information, consume it, understand it, and then change on a dime. And this is a struggle, as you can imagine, for a lot of federal governments who've been operating, or a lot of federal agencies who've been operating the same way for decades.
This is a question that we get asked, or, you know, this is a question that I have, that is a discussion I have with my team on a daily basis, right? Even within the EPA, we have this office, we have these ideas, but how do we get this into reality, right? So the approach that I'm taking here is something called a lean startup approach, which is used by the startups in Silicon Valley. And the way we do this thing is you create a vision and you start with the so-called minimum viable product, right? Which has the bare functionalities that you want to have in the product that will drive towards the mission or the vision you are trying to achieve. And what this gives us is you have an early way to find out what we are trying to do is actually going to give value towards the mission or enable the mission, right? So this is one way I think the agencies can start adopting these new kind of technologies coming out of Silicon Valley and looking at this from a perspective of, okay, is this something that we want to adopt in a long-term perspective? So the basic motto of this one is build, measure, learn. So you build a small product, you look at that and see if you can measure it, and then you say, okay, is this the right way we are going? If you are going the right way, you go with it. Otherwise, you pivot. The concept is called pivoting, changing the way we are designing the product so that we can make sure the product is sustainable. And the benefit of this approach is I don't need a multi-billion dollar budget to do this at this point because we are starting small. So we can, you know, find a couple of servers lying in our data centers, start the process, get the things going. So think of this like a bunch of people in a car garage, starting a company. Similar concept is applied, right? A bunch of federal public sector employees who are driven by the mission comes together and see what we can scramble together and create something and get the leadership buy-in, get the agency buy-in, and then go big. So that's the approach.
Greg Godbout is EPA's chief data officer. Robin Tottengall is its chief data scientist. Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.